Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Little G. draw all men unto him. We are excited for God allowing us once again to come and to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word. We are excited about what God is about to do. And yes, radio audience, we thank you for once again for tuning in here at the Breakthrough Broadcast. We have an exciting topic today, topic that we're going to bring to the forefront. But first of all, I would like to introduce to you the panelists here on the Breakthrough Broadcast. They are as following: Miss Helen Hooper, Elder Natasha Davis, Pastor Eric Hooper, Evangelist Mary Faith. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we are getting ready for you to be blessed of the Lord. Yes, you still have time. So call a neighbor, call a friend, and tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. We are getting ready to go before the throne of grace. If you are riding in your car, or you may be walking through the house, you have the opportunity. Why don't you reverence God at this time as we go before his throne? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you, God, today that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, that word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Today, God, we thank you because you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. And Lord God, we proclaim, God, that you don't have some power, but God, you have all power in your hand. And God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of things. God, today, God, bless those, God, that are in our radio audience. God, whatever needs that they have today, Lord, we ask thee in the mighty name of Jesus, God, to move on their behalf. God, your word say, ask and it shall be given. God, you said to seek and ye shall find. God, you said to knock and the door shall be open. Lord, you said that we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Say to the mountain, be thou moved. God, you said that it shall be moved. So, Lord, during this broadcast, cause the word to go out, Father God, to the four corners of this earth, God. Lord, cause souls, God, to be saved, lives to be changed, bodies to be healed. And, Father, for this, God, we will forever glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our topic for the day here on the Breakthrough Broadcast is seize the opportunities to serve God. And our central truth today will be God desires to use every Christian in his service. Our study text will be taken from the Old Testament, Nehemiah 1 and 1 through Nehemiah 2 and 18. So we'll use for a key verse today, we will use, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are thankful to God for his word on today. And we thank God for what he, again, how he is getting ready to empower you with the word of God, with the understanding, with the revelation of his word. So our first subtopic today will be distressing circumstances, which will be coming from, as I said before, Nehemiah, but we're going to cover Nehemiah, the first through the sixth verse, we're going to come back and pick up the remainder. I would like to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast, Miss Helen Hooper. Miss Helen Hooper, welcome to the broadcast.
McCoy, and hello to the listening audience. Praise God for you and to our panelists, our Breakthrough family. And I'm going to be coming from Nehemiah, the first chapter, the first to the sixth verse, and we're talking about distress and circumstances. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalah, Leah, and it came to pass in the month of Chisla, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, and Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province and are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates, therefore, are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before for the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy from them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear in prayer and hear the prayer of thine servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And we see in Nehemiah first chapter, when Nehemiah is praying for the people, this topic is distressing circumstances. And we see here, after Nehemiah asks about Jerusalem and how everything is going there, and the word that he got back was distressing to him. And it moved him into an earnest prayer. It moved him to a prayer for Israel, because he loved Israel. He loved Jerusalem just like he loved anything. He loved it more because that's where he came from. That's where his roots are from, his fathers and his forefathers. So when he asked them about what is going on there, is everything well there? And when his brother gave him the word, no, things are not well there. The wall is still torn down. The gates are burned with fire. This distressed him and moved him greatly. He was in distressing distressing circumstances. Sometimes God will give us distressing circumstances just to move us to where we need to be in him, to move us to our destiny, to push us forward to our destiny. And this is the opportunity we see here. The topic is seize opportunities to serve God. This was an opportunity for him to do a great work for God, and he did not sit down on it. He could have well said, you know what, the gates are torn down, the gates are burned with fire, but I'm not going to go there. We know that when you read the book of Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer for the king. And that means he had prestige, a little prestige in the palace. That means that he had a position in the palace that he was very comfortable with. His life was pretty good in the palace because we know as a cupbearer, he's very trusted with the king. He has a really position of a little power. So he was comfortable where he was. And sometimes most of us get comfortable where we are, thinking, you know, God is trying to give us an opportunity to serve him, give us something to do. He's applied something to our hands, but we're so comfortable where we are in our comfort zone, we don't want to move forward. We don't want to go any further than that. I'm comfortable right here in my atmosphere. This is my space. This is where I'm going to be. He could have well, Nehemiah could have well have said, you know, it's going to take a journey for me to go to all the way to Jerusalem. It's going to take journey. It would take months for him to travel from Persia all the way to Jerusalem, but he did not do that. He took this opportunity. He seized the opportunity to get up and to do something for God because his people were in trouble. The land that he loved was in trouble. And as we read on and as you hear the rest of the panelists today, they're going to discuss what actually happened. But in Nehemiah's heart, it distressed him to the point that he wanted to earn an earnest prayer for the people. It moved him into prayer. This was a great opportunity for him for servanthood, a great opportunity to serve God. But it was a great opportunity because it was his destiny to go and do exactly what God had applied to his hands. He loved his people. He was devoted to God. So he wanted to please him even the more. So as we read on and we read when he heard this news, he went into that prayer for God for Israel, even to the point where he was giving God, he was confessing his sins. But he didn't leave himself out when he confessed. He said that the people had sinned against him. He said, I, me, myself also had sinned against you. But he went on to say, when you keep reading down, he starts claiming the promises of God. He starts giving God back his word as we go further on into the lesson. And all of us know when we give God back his word, God's word is unfailing. It cannot lie. He cannot lie. It will not fall to the ground. So when he started giving God back his word, he was getting himself in position to go and do what God had applied to his hand. God gave him these circumstances and moved on his heart so he can get a work done for the nation of Israel, for his people. He even gave God back his word saying, remember what you told your servant Moses. This is giving God back his word. And when we give God back his word and we in right standing and we in order with God, he will move on our behalf like never before. We will see him move in circumstances we didn't think can be handled. But we know we have to give it over to God. But here Nehemiah is praying for his people. He knows that he has to go and get a work done. They said that it was a fervent prayer, meaning that he got on his knees and he started praying to God. He started surrendering things to God. He started just giving God his word back, saying, you know, and getting himself in position where God could use him. And we have to do that in our everyday life as saints of God, as people of God. Sometimes our life is in ruin. Our gates are burned with fire. Our walls are broken down. But if we're not concerned about the ruins of our life, God cannot do anything in our lives. So what we need to do is get in right standing. Like Nehemiah is getting himself, he confesses. He didn't leave himself out. He put himself in there with all the rest of them because they were not following God. They were not keeping his commandments. So he put himself in there with the rest of God, but he repented. So we have to repent, just like we have things in our lives that are not going right, circumstances, distressing circumstances. But we don't take time for observation in our life to get those things right and get in right standing with God. He can never catapult us into what we need to do. We cannot go any further. So here we see Nehemiah praying, claiming God's promises, giving, repenting for the nation, the Israel, the people of Israel, so he can get to do what God would have him to do, so he can go on and do what God had applied to his hands. And we have to do that in our everyday lives. Christians have to just observe what's going on in their lives. If there's ruins in your life, if there are things that's torn down, if your walls are broken down and it's in ruins, we need to get with God and see what he says about that thing. Get yourself right in right standing. If you have to repent, repent and go on and do what God would have you to do. Whatever God has applied to your hands, we need to get it done. Here he applied this to Nehemiah's hand. And like I said, he had a very cushy job in the palace with the king. But God had gave him favor to do exactly what he needed to do. He touched the king's heart and gave him favor. Nehemiah had favor with the king. So whatever he asked, he would have granted to him. And as we read on in the story and as we go through the lesson today, we're going to see the favor of God in Nehemiah's life. Nehemiah, God used Nehemiah not only to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but he also used him to purify his people, because when he got there, as we read on or as we go on, we know that they were doing things that they weren't supposed to do, marrying women. The Jewish men were marrying women they weren't supposed to marry. So he went in there and done a great work for God. So we're talking about seize opportunities to serve God. If there is an opportunity for you to serve God, you need to get with God and you need to get it right and you need to start doing exactly what God would have you to do. There are many ways to serve God, but if he's given you an opportunity to serve him, we need to take that. We need to go to him. We need to search our hearts and our minds and get in order with God to do what he would have us to do. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, how Nehemiah went and rebuilt the wall and how he got those people, got the nation of Israel back into right standing or back into order with God. And we need to do that in our lives. We need to survey our property. We need to survey our hearts and see if we have any ruins, any walls torn down, so God can start to rebuild us and to come into our life, and we can just go forward in what he would have us to do. Back to you, Dr. McCord.
Thank you, Ms. Hooper. We thank God because it's so important that we see the opportunity to serve God. We don't want to be in that light of daisy position in our mentality, in our emotion, in the things that we do. And we want to be able, every opportunity man of God did. Was not satisfied, as Ms. Hooper said, was not satisfied just being. Yes, he did what he was responsible for doing, what he was instructed to do in the palace with the king, but yet he knew that he wanted to be about God's business. It grieved him to see what was happening. So therefore, he knew that after seeking the face of God and praying to God, that God was going to move on his behalf. And that's the same thing we need to know today, that God will move on our behalf. What do we say? Ask and it shall be given. What do we need of God? What do we need God to do in our life? We need to be able to go forth and do what the Word of God has instructed us to do and what God has put on our heart to do. He sees the opportunity. What the question is, what are we going to do? Now, let's go to part B of distressing circumstances. And at this time, we'd like to welcome the Breakthrough Broadcast Elder Natasha Davis. As she comes, and she's going to go into that same chapter, Nehemiah 1, and she's going to tell us what the thus says the Word of God through verses 7 through 11. Elder Davis.
Greetings to you. Greetings to you, Dr. McCoy. I'm so excited to be with you on today. Greetings to you. I greet each of the guest panelists on today, and I also greet you and the listening audience. I'm so thrilled and so very excited and so pumped about our lesson on today, seizing our opportunity to serve God. And it's so wonderful to be able to be a servant of the Most High God. In the Word of the Lord, we'll read verses 7 through 11 from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. We have read in our Word today verses 1 through 5 or 1 through 6, and we'll continue at verse 7. We have acted corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Verse 8, remember, I pray, the word you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations, but if you return to me, I will keep my commandments and do them. Through some of you, you've been cast through as far as part of the earth as it is in the heavens, yet I will gather you from there and bring you from the place and bring you to the place which I have chosen and called you by my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. Verse 11, O Lord, I pray thee, please let your ear be attentive to my prayer, your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who you desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy and sight in this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. I read for you Nehemiah 1, verses 7 through 11 in the New King James Version, specifically for a reason. Today, I want to encourage you, our listening audience, to know that you have a perfect opportunity to serve God when you receive distressing news or when you are in distressing circumstances, such as Nehemiah. Nehemiah received the evil report that the walls have been burned down and that the people in Judah, the Jewish people, have not been obeying the word of God and that they come to a desolate state. And many a times we receive an evil report. We receive a report of bad news from our doctor. We receive an evil report saying that our health is in a bad state. We receive, you know, reports from the doctor saying that we only have a certain amount of time to live, or we have a diagnosis of cancer. But one of the things I want to bring to your remembrance from the Word of God, and I want to encourage you so very affectionately today to understand that Nehemiah had a response to what he heard. So many times when we get an evil report, when we get a negative report, when people tell you that your job is getting ready to fold in, when you've heard that your husband, your wife is getting ready to leave you, when you've heard that your son, your daughter is on drugs and they're living a promiscuous lifestyle, that is a perfect opportunity to seize that opportunity to be able to serve God. Why is that? Because you may not ever step foot into a pulpit. You may not ever step foot into a courtroom and become a judge. You may not ever do great things where your name is called, but one of the greatest things that you can do is serve God on your knees in prayer. We all are servants to God. We're all called to prayer. And one of the things that I love so greatly about this story on today in the life of Nehemiah is that he responded to God in prayer. So many times we respond in sadness, we respond with depression, we respond to bad news. But Nehemiah, he sensed that that God was going to use him. We don't ever think that God is going to use distressing circumstances to show really who he is. God really wants to show you through every circumstance that looks dim, every circumstance that looks dead, every circumstance. If you have bad credit on today, if you are in a situation where you don't have a college degree, God wants to show himself strong in your life. Nehemiah was only a cupbearer, but Nehemiah was a strong man of God. Anytime that you could be a cupbearer, which meant that you had to drink the king's drink or drink from his cup to make sure that nobody was poisoning him, he took a risk every time he brought the king something to drink. That means he had to sip off the king's cup. That means he was in a place, and he was in a place where people already hated him because not everybody was a king, a fan of the king. Not everybody loved the king, but Nehemiah's place was the cupbearer. That means he took great risks. He had great courage. He had great boldness. And any time that you can take a risk and go to God in prayer about any report, any evil report or any response that you get from any circumstance or distressing circumstance in your life, we can go to the word of God as Nehemiah did in verse 8. He said, remember, I pray, the word you commanded your servant Moses, that if you are unfaithful, even in the times when you are unfaithful, even in the times when you are unfaithful, God said, come to me. I want you to remember that you can come to me. And so what he did was that he repented. Not only did he respond, but he repented as God said that he would receive our prayers and that he would hear our prayers in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, if you are my people, he said, you that are my people, you're called by my name, you're my servants. He said, if you will repent, if you will humble yourself and pray. So many times with our genius selves, with our educated selves, what we do is that we think within ourselves that we can serve, we can solve our problems. We go to this person, go to this pastor, go to the next person, to this prophet. But all God is waiting for you to do is just for you to acknowledge that you are his servant and that you are called by his name, that he wants you to humble yourself and stop trying to figure everything out on your own, always trying to reason within yourself. But God says, humble yourself and pray and to turn from your ways, your evil ways, your ways that are limited to textbooks, your ways that are limited to circumstances. But if you humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways, the laws of man, the laws of circumstances and situations that says if you have a record that you can't get another job, if you turn from, if you had an abortion, you can never live to be a productive citizen. That's the ways of man. But if you turn from the evil and wicked ways of man, God says that if you turn to me and repent, I'll forgive you of your sins. That means I will give you another chance. Even though you might be divorced today, God want to give you another chance. You might have committed all kind of acts and crimes. You might have a parole, a report behind your name. You might have a felon conviction against you. But every radio listening audience, I want to let you know that if you just repent and turn from your ways and ask God to forgive forgive you of your sins. He said, I will forgive you, and I will heal your land. And he would hear from heaven, and he would heal our land. So God wants you to know, people of God, listening audience, he wants you to know today that you can turn to him and give him an opportunity. God is not pleased. He's not happy with us living in defeat. God is not happy at all. God says that he wants to make our enemies our footstool. He says that he wants to cause all of your enemies to be scattered. God is not pleased when people have violated your life, when they've broken your walls, broken, intruded into your life. The enemy came to steal, kill, and to destroy. God is not happy and not pleased with that. So he sent his son Jesus, saying, if you accept him as your Savior, what God would do through his son Jesus Christ is give you life and have it more abundantly. And only through the promises that he's given you through a life in Christ Jesus, he said that he would destroy the works of the enemy. So we have it here in the Word of God that not only should we respond in prayer, and then we should repent as Nehemiah did, but we also realize that when we pray, that we ought to expect God to restore. Just like Nehemiah said in his word, he said in verse 11, he said, oh Lord, I pray thee, please let your ear be attentive. And we know from the Word of God, he says, if you call me, I will answer. So many times that we back up from God, we back up from circumstances, expecting God to let us down like man did. But God is not a man that he should lie. He has a promise over your life, and it's called his name. He has established his word above his name. God shall not let it, if he spoke it, say of Isaiah 43, the 43rd chapter says, if God spoke a thing concerning your life, he said, shall I not perform it? I'll make it good if I spoke it. People of God, today I want to let you know that God says everything he spoke concerning your life, he shall bring it to pass. So I'll remind you today in the text, not only to respond to every bad and discouraging and every distressing situation with prayer, not only respond to prayer, but to repent. Repent, understanding that we all fall short of the glory of God, but God is expecting to hear your voice, and understand that God is a God of restoration. God is a God that will rebuild. He is a God that will restore. He's a God that is a covenant-keeping God. He never moves from his place. It's always us that moves from our place, but God will restore you, and he'll rebuild the walls of your life. So do not be discouraged today when bad circumstances, negative circumstances, or distress circumstances come to you. But the word of the Lord says that we are troubled on every side, but we are not in distress. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if I can leave anything with you today to encourage your soul, that God is a God that wants to restore. He wants to rebuild, and he wants to recover your life today. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Elder Davis. To God be the glory. This is the Breakthrough Broadcast. Yes, we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We are talking about today seizing the opportunity to serve God. Yes, we're talking about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man of God. He believed in prayer. He believed in praying. Yes, sometimes when distress comes in our lives, sometimes we don't turn to God. We don't, the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that is what God will put into the hearts of his people. Nehemiah knew that he needed to pray. He needed to seek the face of God. Sometimes even as the elder had just shared with us, sometimes people fall apart. Sometimes they can't think straight. Sometimes when there's this present, because we're talking about seizing the opportunity as well. When we seize the opportunity, we're going to go, we're going to prepare ourselves. We're going to plan. We're going to put God first. We're going to receive instruction from the Most High God. Yes, the stress and time will come, and it will overcome you if you let it overcome you. Yes, we rely that some people go through great pain. Yes, they go through anxiety. Yes, they deal with sorrow. Yes, sometimes they go through mental type suffering and affliction. But I'm here to tell you today that there is nothing too hard for God to do. There is not had to come to himself. Even had to repent as the woman of God said. They had to know that it is God. I believe the woman of God went back in 7th Chronicles, in that 7th chapter, 7 and 14. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. And that's what God wants us to do, to seek his face. And so, therefore, when we seek the face of God, we wait on God, be of good courage, then I believe that God will lead us, guide us. God will give us those instructions for this day and time or whatever time it is in our lives. So we are so thankful for the word of God. Yes, we've been talking about distressing circumstances. First, we heard from Miss Helen Hoover, then Elder Natasha Davis, and came and told us and took us down the path from the Lord to distressing our circumstances. At this time, we're getting ready to talk about divine opportunity. Come on, what opportunity do we need but a divine opportunity? And we're getting ready to go through to Nehemiah, the 2nd chapter, verse through the 8th verse. And we're going to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Eric Hoover to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Amen. Amen, Dr. McCoy, and all the radio listeners and the others on the panel. God bless you all today. It's good to be here. It's been a while, but I thank God for the opportunity today, for this one right here. It is a divine opportunity, so just want to give God the glory for that. And we're going to be reading from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and it reads, "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, and unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And the king said to me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Amen. And we're talking about the divine opportunities, and we know that divine deals with godlike or godly, and opportunities deal with seasonal times or favorable occasions. And this was a time where God was favoring Nehemiah after Jerusalem had been overtaken because of the rebellion in Israel, that God had, if you think about it, there's always a remnant that God has that's going to serve him. You may have been overlooked. You may have been overlooked by people who have been more talented or more vocal or more visual or whatever the case may have been. But the thing about it, it's not about being seen or being before man. It's about your earnest desire to serve and to love God. And in this, you see where Nehemiah, God had already placed Nehemiah into a favorable position, which was being a cupbearer. And he was next to the king, and as the sister said before, that this guy had to be a one who would take risks, because to be able to sit before a king and drink of the wine before he drank to make sure that it wasn't poisoned or intoxicated with anything, that this showed that he had great courage, because he was willing to lay his life down for the king. He was willing to die for the position that God had placed him in. And once again, when you're doing something for God, and when you even live for God, you must come to the point in your life that you're willing to lay everything down, friends, family, anybody that's close to you that is a hindrance in your life or anything that's close to you that is a hindrance in your life, you must be willing to lay all those things down and also even your own life in order to do what God has called you to do. And if you look in the story, you can see how when Nehemiah had gotten word about what had taken place in the city of in the city of his people, that he began to be burdened. And also, sometimes God will give us a burden. If you can look around in your life and you know that you're doing everything that God has told you to do, and you're just serving God and you're doing everything on a day-by-day basis, and you look up and you see things just are not right amongst God's people, the people around you, or just circumstances, it begins to create a burden in your heart. And so what you see here is the same thing you see with Nehemiah. And sometimes God will place that burden because he knows that God can entrust you to go and accomplish the task that he wants to see to come to pass in the life of his people. And so you see here, God had already placed Nehemiah next to a king, and the Bible talks about how the heart of the king is in the hand of God and how God, he would turn it whichever way it pleases him. And in this thing, God had placed him in a position that that would give him everything that he needed to get God's work done. And so in this situation, Nehemiah was actually in a place of wealth. He was in a wealthy place because anytime you have enough to do the will of God, you're walking in wealth. Many of us view wealth as always having enough money or always having everything around us at all times. But sometimes God will allow everything around you to be stripped to show you that he is God. And the things that around you are just resources that come from God, which is your source. And so in doing so, Nehemiah went to the king, and the king noticed how he was sad and how he wasn't just his normal self. And then he began to just pour his heart out to the king. And then God touched, it looked like God just touched the king's heart to ask him as far as to making a request. And when he did that, before he even made a request, you see how Nehemiah, he didn't go and make a request for anything of himself, but it was for the work of God. It was for the people of God. It was for the things of God, God's city. And the thing about it, he was talking about going back to Judah. And we know that Judah represents praise. And what happened was the people had lost hope because they had been overtaken because of the rebellion of the people in the land. So God had permitted the enemy to come in and overtake them, because once you step out of bounds with God, once you begin to walk in the spirit of disobedience or rebellion, what you do is you come out of the hedge of protection, as it talks about in the story about Job. And once you come out of that hedge of protection, you give the serpent free right to bite you. Then whatever the serpent bites you with, if you get poisoned or if you get struck by the serpent, it's only because you have walked out of God's protection. And in this story, you see how God's people have been overrun by the enemy simply because of their disobedience. But there was one who would remain faithful, who had remained faithful. And in seeing this, you see how Nehemiah went to the king, and the king granted everything that he needed. And it talks about in the book of Habakkuk 2:2 how if we write the vision and make it plain, then they that read it, he said, write it upon tables, and that they may run that read it. So you can see God had already given this man a burden. God had already given this man a vision. And now God was ready to make provisions for this man to go and accomplish the task. And if you look at this, this is a divine opportunity where God was about to allow Nehemiah's time to come to go and do what he has been called to do. Some of you are in jobs. Some of you are in places. You're in places where it seems like it's just a repetitive routine. And the thing about it is God was just only allowing you to be in a certain position to get you ready. But there's a greater, so many of you all have a greater burden in your life, and you know there's more to your life than where you are. And God just has you in that place for a specific time, because what he's about to do, he's about to bring you into your set time to go out and do greater things for him. But even in the midst of that, God has placed people around you who is going to favor you and help fund the vision that God has put in your life. And what God is going to do with you, and God is going to help you. God is going to use you to help the people, and God is going to use you to restore praise, and he's going to use you to restore hope in the lives of people around you, even to his own people. If you look in the body of Christ right now, you see how many things are going on in the body of Christ. And many people that you may have admired in one season or another particular season, things have taken off and things seem to go astray or things seem to go sour or south. And what God is going to do, God is going to use you just like he did with Joseph and his brothers when he was betrayed. God is going to use you the same way to be that helping hand, that hand that's going to reach back and to pull them up out of the mire. So we just want to encourage you today to get ready and just to continue to stay with God and just to continue to give God praise, because God's going to use your praise and God's going to use you to go and to restore praise unto his people. Amen? So I just want to let you know just to be encouraged today, to continue to stay in faith, continue to be strong, continue to believe and trust in God, because God is going to use you in this time and in this season. And when the door opens, you need to walk in it. And the thing about it, you need to seize this opportunity that God is about to bring you into in this season. Amen. Things may seem like God may have given you a word that this is the season of blessing, this is the season where God is about to take you forward. But as soon as you have received that word, the enemy came in and he began to cause you to begin to doubt what God has been saying, the word that God has spoken. See, the thief coming out but to steal, kill, and to destroy. So whatever God has spoken into you, whatever God has given you in this season, continue to embrace that. Forsake everything else and just trust in the Lord. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke, he's going to bring the past in your life. So I just want to say today in radio land, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to keep your eyes until the hill from which cometh your help, because help is on the way. God is about to restore your praise. And God is also about to use many of you to go out and to help restore, bring many back into the will of God, bring many back into the fold of God to continue on his will. Because God does not, it's not God's will that any of us should perish, but we all should have eternal life. Amen? Back to you, Dr. McCord.
Thank you, Pastor Cooper, for talking on the word of God that he heard on the day, and how the Lord himself spoke into the very innermost parts of our souls to let us know that to encourage our hearts, to let whatever you are doing for God, to be encouraged. You know, the word of God says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, but cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth. Let's seize the opportunity to be patient, to wait on God. Let's seize the opportunity to praise, to magnify, and to lift up his name. For the word of God says, I be lifted up. He said that he will draw all men unto him. Even in difficult times, even in the time of distress, you must lift up the name of Jesus. At this time, we're getting ready to go to the last portion of our broadcast, which is a well-prepared plan. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what God is about to do and what he is about to say. We have heard from the Lord on today, and we want you to hear what the word of God is saying through a well-prepared plan. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome Evangelist Mary Spate to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Evangelist Spate.
Thank God for you, Dr. McCoy, and for the listening audience and the panel. I'm going to be reading to you today from Nehemiah, the ninth chapter, the second chapter, verses 9 through 18. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast within me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon wall, and to the dung port, and viewed the wall of Jerusalem, which was broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priest, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Praise God for the word today. We've been talking about Nehemiah and the work that God had set before his hands to do. But today we want to just deal with how there are pre-planned circumstances that God has already ordained for our lives. And today we're also dealing with being well prepared and planned for those things that God has called us to do. We thank God today for Nehemiah's blessing and his faith to believe and step out that whatever God had promised him, he was able to perform. And we also see that how Nehemiah didn't abandon the things that God had placed in his heart to do. And there are things that God has placed also in our hearts to do for him. But through fear, we won't allow God to bring it to pass in us. The Bible declares that whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, if ye would just simply believe, then we could see the glory of God. So that lets me know that there are some things that God wants for us. So what God says, all I need you to do is desire it. And then there are times that we don't even know what we really want. But when God says, okay, I'm going to bring it to pass, so what he does, he puts the desire in us to desire it, only to bring it to pass that we will give him glory. So even in Nehemiah day, when Nehemiah had a mind to just rebuild the things that were torn down, because when we look at Judah, we look at praise, we look at the things that are so necessary in our lives to do for the kingdom, and praises is so important to God. It's Judah. Judah, there are times we need to send forth Judah before we send forth anything else. But we also see how Nehemiah had favor not only with God, but he had favor with man. And there are times that we will experience the hand of God, and we'll always have the ear of God as long as we walk in his statutes. But there are times God shows us that we also need a hand from man. But how even in him being a cupbearer for the king, the Bible also declares that when the king is blessed, the cupbearer is blessed also. So we see how the blessings didn't just fall from the king to Nehemiah, but the blessing was about to fall on Jerusalem with the things that God had placed in Nehemiah's heart to do. Now, I just love this chapter because Nehemiah had such a heart to do the will of God. And so many times in this day and time, we have a desire to do things for God, but a lot of times our attitude, our personality doesn't line up. Our character has not caught up with our spiritual man. So therefore, sometimes some things we do, we're not doing it to God as for and for God. But God says, okay, I'm going to give you another opportunity. And I thank God for the opportunity that he gave Nehemiah to do a work for him. And even in this chapter, when we begin to look and we begin to see, we talked about Sambiah and Tobiah. They were his enemies. When they first heard of the work that Nehemiah had went out to do, the Bible said they got so angry, all because that they saw that a man was helping Nehemiah, which was the king. But when we go all the way down to the end, it also lets me know that when God has put a task in our hands to accomplish, we're going to have adversaries. We're going to have people that come up against the things that God has given us to do. But if we just set our face like flint, people of God, and believe that the things that God has promised to us, he's well able to perform, then I believe that God will always be well pleased. But even in that, all of the things that God has given us to do, there is preparation. And preparation will always come before elevation. When God is telling us, I'm giving you something to do, as we look even as John being on the Isle of Patmos, he wasn't just there. He was there being prepared. So God gives us a time of preparation to do the things that we need to do. He's calling us to fasting. He's calling us to praying. He's calling us to get up and minister and witness and encourage ourselves in God that we may be able to upgird some others that need upgirding. So God is saying to us today, people of God, I love you. There's a call. There's a need. And all I want you to do is just avail yourself and to prepare yourself for the things that I need for you to do. Because God's saying, I love my creation. I want your walls rebuilt. I'm tired of the enemy coming against you, reaping havoc, doing everything that he wants to do. Because people of God, if it was the enemy's desire, he would see his desire come upon us. But God, just as he told the people of God, he said, look behind you, because the enemy you see today, you won't see anymore. And there are some things that we need to dismiss from our lives, dismiss from our spirits, and believe that whatever God has promised, he is well able to perform. So I just want to encourage you today, people of God. Just know that there are things that God wants for you. He wants them for you more than you want them for yourself. But when he gives you a task to do, he's calling us to a place of obedience to bring about the things in the earth, that the people may be blessed, that the souls may be healed, that the body may be healed. The body of Christ now is going through such a transition, but God is saying, if you would seek me and seek me early and seek to know my ways, seek to know my plans and the things that you're hoping for, if it doesn't come today, then I don't want you to abandon tomorrow, because the things that I have for you, they will come. They will not tarry, but if we begin to believe and trust God for the things that he's called us to do, he will show himself strong and mighty. Amen. God bless you.
I would like to thank Evangelist Spencer for allowing God to speak truth on today. And also would like to take this opportunity to thank Miss Helen Hooper, Elder Natasha Davis, Pastor Eric Hooper, and Evangelist Mary Spake again for, again, another opportunity to reach out into our radio audience and touch the heart of men and women, boys and girls everywhere. We are getting ready to go before the throne of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God. We magnify your name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done. Oh, God, that you're about to do. Lord, we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for enlarging the borders of your people. God, we thank you, God, for changing God's hearts and touching hearts on today, God. We thank you, God, for causing the heart, God, to be the heart of flesh. In the name of Jesus, for bringing encouragement, God, to the people of God. I thank you, God, for letting them, God, know that they can seize every opportunity, God, to serve you. And God, to let them know that you are the Lord of their lives. And God, that they have the opportunity to praise and to magnify your name. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, your way, God, even now. Lord, to bless them, how above measure. God, to meet every need, God, even now. Lord, those that are not saved, God, those that do not know you as the Lord in their life. God, if they don't know you as the Father who created, one that made them. God, one, Father God, in the name of Jesus, paid that price 2,000 years ago. God, that they can be saved. I ask you, Lord, even now, God, to touch their heart. God, you said, we confess
forget this work, God, and remember it no more. God, that they'll be those brand new creatures, Lord God. Have your way, God, even now. And Father, we thank you. And Father, we praise you, God, for what you have done, what you're going to do, Lord God, according to your word. And God, those that are sick in their body, God, we send the word of healing, Lord God. God, from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west. God, no matter what the infirmity is, no matter what the sickness is, Lord God, we pray healing, God, even now. And Father, for this we will glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Please tune in on next Saturday at this same time where God is still speaking his word. May God forever bless and keep you. Is